I return to see what there could be. It's just a shame it felt like pain. Now I feel so warm again. If I look back, there's only rain. I need to see you learn again. And I'm not sorry, 'cause you got to know me. No, I'm not sorry. Hey, hey, you got to know me. The years I talked well inside the borderline.
We have an extraordinary guest with us today that we're trying to get to, and that is Kayla Ambrose. And we were listening also to some wonderful music by Queen Ladybug, who is an excellent musician from Britain. So anyway, we on the Peaceful Planet apologize about all of these technical problems, but at the same time, we are very excited to bring in the work of Kayla Ambrose, who is an author. And she is, like myself, also a teacher. She's the author of 9 Life-Altering Lessons, Secrets of the Mystery Schools Unveiled. Kayla, it's so nice to have you with us, and I apologize about all these technical issues. Hopefully we can both hear one another now.
Thanks, Marcia. Happy to be here. And perhaps it's just all the energy floating around, stirring things up.
Oh, I think there has been some weird energy toward the end of January, to be sure. So you could be very right about that. And may I read a section of your bio before we go on?
Sure.
Okay. Kayla Ambrose shares the esoteric teachings and ancient wisdom at the Mystery School, the Temple of Stella Maris, at www.templeofstellamaris.org. Students who wish to explore their inner selves enter the temple and begin the journey to discover who they are. Each person retains this information deep within their soul where they hold the key. Her book, Nine Life-Altering Lessons, Secrets of the Mystery Schools Unveiled, delves into the teachings of ancient Egypt and Greece and explains the mystery schools and their adventures into other realms. As an intuitive, Kayla lectures on how to develop intuition, psychic ability, how to see auras, the wisdom of esoteric teachings, uncovering ancient myths, beauty and peace through traditional feng shui, and the meaning of abundance and prosperity. So, Kayla, I'm so delighted to finally connect with you, shall we say, and feature you, your book. I've been looking forward to this interview for a long time now.
Likewise, looking forward to speaking with you today.
Well, I really liked the book, and I thought it was very interesting, and you had an awful lot in there, and I think that the esoteric wisdom is something that I also teach, and I do a small study group here in central Illinois. Where are you located on the physical plane? I know you're on the web. Do you teach from a center or something like that, or are you teaching primarily on the web?
I'm in North Carolina, and we have a mystery school, a bricks-and-mortar building, as you would call it, a temple, the Temple of Stella Maris here in North Carolina. We're in the Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill area, which is called the Triangle, and I teach classes here with students who wish to study the esoteric teachings. We have neophyte classes and initiate classes, and I do a series of workshops here in the local area and around the country as well on esoteric teachings.
That's really wonderful. May I ask you, how did you, first of all, you know, going back into your teachings and everything, I liked the way you presented it, and I think you're touching on a lot of the basics that probably were covered in the ancient mystery schools. But how did you come to this intuitive knowledge? How did you uncover it so that you may teach it? Did you research it? Did you remember it from past lives? How did this unfold for you? And how did you come to build your school, which I'm really curious about?
I came back this lifetime being psychic since birth. And in our family, it's referred to as the gift and passed down through generations, and every third generation, one of us pops out with red hair, and we seem to know things, and then we irritate the family from then on.
Oh, yeah, I know that feeling. Okay, so you do readings for your, you started out with your family.
Yes, and quite a young age. So it was very, I was fortunate to have a family that was very understanding, and I was allowed to study, and I started very young, reading very early on in life, and would spend every waking moment I had in the library studying ancient myths and history and societies and cultures, and had a great love for it. And not only would I read, but I would try to teach in the libraries to anyone who would listen. And
wow.
Would come home even from elementary school and hold classes on, growing up in Louisiana, we had a carport there, so it's kind of an open garage type structure, and I had a big blackboard there, and I would pull it out and teach all the children after school and teach them about history and mythology and ghosts and all the things that I knew. So came back remembering a lot of things. Then was fortunate enough to be allowed to study, and I began, even in my teens, I studied with teachers and began doing astrology by hand after studying and reading the tarot and doing those types of things and continuing onward. It's kind of been a lifelong exploration. Then as I got into my adult years, I began to study more Eastern mysticism and the esoteric teachings, and met some teachers along the way that I studied in different places I lived, including Alaska and Hawaii and California and Florida, and where I met teachers along the way and studied there with the esoteric teachings. And then once I progressed to a certain level in my work with the esoteric teachings and teachers, it then continues on the other side, and I had a teacher appear to me from the other side who continued to teach me from there and work with me. And at that time, then, a lot of memories from past lives came back, and I connected with who I was in past lives, what I had done before, and the memories came back fully and connected.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, you know, I'm fascinated because, as I may have mentioned to you, just this past week, I've been engaged in doing some past life regression and did a fascinating life regression where I discovered that I was one of the oracles of Delphi. I was in the Temple of Athena at Delphi, and it was a wonderful memory. As well, I also teach art history, and I can remember writing essays even 15 years ago on the importance of art history and how it functions to help you open up your memories of past life. So we have a lot in common in regards to teaching and to understanding culture and all of that. So it's wonderful to connect with another teacher, and it's so interesting that you're teaching this. So you have this brick-and-mortar school, and if I may ask, how did that come to be built, and how did you get into this? Was this something you've been doing for like 10 years or more, or how did you do it?
I've been teaching for quite a while. I began with some classes in Florida, and then my husband and I felt a calling that we needed to move, and we opened it up to the universe and said if we were meant to move from Florida to let it happen, and said a prayer and asked to be led where we needed to go. And the next day he received a phone call with a job offer, and he applied for the job. We had no idea where it was in North Carolina. They brought him up here. He applied for it. They offered him an offer he couldn't refuse and offered to move us and pack us and ship us. And so we knew the universe was telling us where we needed to go. And that brought us up here. And I began teaching classes up here, connecting with people and bringing it about. And the classes grew as people began to hear about them and come. And that just evolved into needing a building and needing a space to do it and creating the temple. And we have classrooms here. We have healing rooms. We have students that study everything from auras and chakras to the ancient esoteric teachings to, like I said, doing workshops on all types of things. And of course, we have the show here to explore your spirit and the studio here where we run all of that as well. And it's a little bit of everything here. And expanding again, we hope to be moving from this building into a new one here in the not-too-distant future where we'll have even more buildings, and we're in the process of building a big library. My dream is to restore the symbol of the Library of Alexandria that was built and have a building where philosophers, scientists, researchers, and scholars all alike can come and have debates and philosophize and use the library and access it. So that's our future plans.
Well, that's a wonderful dream. The Library at Alexandria was one of the most magnificent libraries in antiquity, and I'm sure you know that they had a lot of the ancient Gnostic wisdom there. And,
yes, I'm very familiar with the library and have many past life memories from there as well, and I think it's no coincidence that I was born in Alexandria in Louisiana this time as well. So.
Oh, really? Alexandria, Louisiana. How about that? So you're natively from that same similar area in the South, and now you're in, did you say North or South Carolina?
I'm in North Carolina, though I've lived around the country from California, Washington State, Alaska, Hawaii, Colorado, Florida, North Carolina, Texas, lots of places.
You've been all over, so there really isn't any origin there, but that's typical for America these days, isn't it? Yeah.
It is. So, I like to say my roots were based in Louisiana, but I spread my branches wide throughout the country.
I'll say. Well, Hawaii has the kahuna tradition, and
yes.
Alaska has a lot of native traditions, too, so I imagine you must have picked up some of this knowledge along the way. But I found it interesting as I was reading through your book, you had a lot of good information. I loved the part that you had there on the ancient worship of the goddess, which we're talking about, Mother Earth Gaia, as the Greeks called her. And it's my understanding that the Greek and the Egyptian knowledge go all the way back to the time of Atlantis, but a lot of that was borrowed, you know.
Absolutely.
So.
It's continued on and improved upon as some generations evolve it. But, yes, going back in that time, and the Sumerians as well had that information. And I like to teach about all of those. In the book, I really focused a little more on the Egypt and Greece teachings, just because it's ones that people are more familiar with and easier for them to connect with. You can still go to Egypt and see some of the things, and more things continue to be unearthed in Egypt. So I felt it was a little more tangible for people to connect with rather than talking. It's fun to talk about Atlantis, but Because at the moment we can't go there, it's a little harder to connect in that way. So
exactly.
A little more contemporary.
Yeah, you know, it seems like we have a lot in common that way too, because I had a recent regression. I've been having such fun doing these past life regressions, and I found out that I was in Atlantis as well, and I was working with crystal healing in a temple of healing. So it seems like I've been all over in my past life. I don't do as much traveling as you have, but I do love world travel. I'm supposed to be going on a journey to Greece, and I want to remind our listeners to check into that. There's some beautiful images of Greece up on the webpage, and you can also access Kayla's information up on our webpage about this show. I want to give out your website. She's at exploreyourspirit.com. And you also air a radio show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that sounds wonderful as well. So it seems to me that you found your calling, Kayla.
Thank you. I'm very passionate about it. The teachings, of course, are my most favorite. I love to teach and work with students directly. And like I said, we hope to expand the center in the future where people could come from all over and study. And, of course, I love to write and do that as well. And the show is just another way. Our theme of our show is Many Paths, One Destination, and that's what we try to do on Explore Your Spirit, is let everyone share their story. I'm respectful of all paths and all journeys and all ways that people want to learn, and I call it that with one destination, meaning we're all just seeking a closer relationship with the divine, within ourselves and without, and to understand it all, and we all have to choose our path of which way we're going to get there.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. You came up with some exercises in the book. As you describe the student going from neophyte, which is sort of the beginner level spiritual initiate, and then you graduate into the initiate, and then you go into the adept. And I've heard of these stages before. They're tossed around in New Age parlance, but I hadn't heard of the neophyte, but I think a lot of the people that are probably starting with your classes are beginning level neophytes, and I know I've had them too. So I'm curious, how did you develop, say, a system of learning where you kind of had an idea of what these beginners could handle, and then an idea of what the initiate can handle, and then an idea of what the adept can handle, and how do you do it? I mean, I'm just curious, because I also teach, and I teach a lot of the same kinds of things, but I'm just intrigued by your knowledge.
The neophytes, which basically means new or a beginner, is someone who's approaching all this for the first time. They may or not be aware that thoughts are things, how the law of attraction works, how the law of abundance works, the power of their thoughts and what they create in their reality. And coming to terms with all of that, if you haven't been exposed to that, can be very overwhelming. So with a neophyte, it's easy to see as they progress and have to work through things. And probably the biggest step they have to take is working with the emotions, understanding the emotions and the effects that it has on each of us and working through that. And we say that you work through your emotions, and some people describe it as controlling your emotions. It doesn't mean that you don't have emotions, but rather it means that you're aware of what they are, you allow them to pass through you, but they no longer control you. That's probably the biggest example that you would use to see when someone's moving from a neophyte stage into the next level. Once that they've been able to do that, they're aware that they are greater than what they realize themselves to be. They are aware they are human and have emotions, but they're not as affected by them anymore. They don't take everything personally. They don't look at everything as how it's affecting them, but rather they begin to look outwardly and see how they are affecting the world and what they are creating in their lives. And once a person transmutes from that stage to the next, rather than looking at everything as happening to them, but rather how they are happening to everything, that's one of the biggest things that you'll see when a neophyte begins to change. As of they move closer into the initiate level, what that really means in many ways is that they begin to initiate these teachings within themselves. So rather than saying, I'd like to be spiritual, or I would like to do spiritual things, it becomes a more natural state of being. You just become a spiritual person or a spiritual being having a human experience. And you will see the transformations within each student as that happens, and they seem to know at the same time. And they will often remark of how their lives have changed, not just within themselves, but with everyone around them, how people react to them differently, how their life has changed, how they're able to consciously create what they want in their lives and bring those things about to be. So it's a pretty natural process to see at that step going into the initiate. And then, of course, when you go from an initiate to an adept, it's much more in-depth there. There's actual alchemical transformations that happen within the heart and the mind and the soul. And being the intuitive I have in working with people, and, of course, this is on a very deep level, working in the esoteric teachings like this, you see those things happen. They see in the aura. They change in the body. The actual aura colors change and begin to glow differently within the person, as well as how they speak, how they talk, how they act, how they reach out to people, how their energy is felt. It changes on many, many planes and many levels that are reviewed at that time. And by the time they're at that level, they're having communication with the other side. They mm-hmm. have guides that are coming with them, and you can, and it's a big conversation between me, them, people that work with us on the other side and the other planes that come through and work, and it's a long time.
Yeah, I do the same thing in my classes, and I'm impressed with what you're doing, because I haven't talked to anyone who's directly teaching other people how to do this work that we both do, which is psychic and connect with others on the other side and speak to these realms. I think it's very interesting that you've branched out and you've got this successful school. I'm impressed. I'm in an area where there's just absolutely no interest in this kind of thing, and I'm having a bit of a hard time. Although I do teach professionally for a university, and I teach art history, and I work with Diana, and I have a lot of diverse things going. It seems like, you know, there's certain areas that there is a universal collective consciousness that is more open, and I think you're in a pretty good area there. Isn't the area you described pretty open to the New Age and psychics in general?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I've, you know, lived on so many coasts, and you find people that are very open on the coasts, California, mm-hmm. Florida, places like that. I lived very metaphysical. And when we moved here, North Carolina actually is in the Bible Belt and known for being very fundamentally Christian, mm-hmm, very
right.
strict religion. Billy Graham has a big following up here. There's the Billy Graham Parkway.
okay, so you are in Bible Belt like me.
Yes, I'm definitely in the Bible Belt, and in our area there's as many churches as there are drugstores, probably on every corner. Mm-hmm. So when I first moved here, which has been a little over 10 years now, I looked a little bit upward at heaven and said, "What have you done to me? What
yeah.
am I doing here? Where are my mm-hmm. people?" And then I realized shortly afterwards that that's why I was here. You go where you're led and where you need to be. And at the time, there weren't that many people when I first came here. Over time now, it seems like almost they've been led to me, and we've met in the most interesting of circumstances. And now North Carolina really is opening up, as this area has changed a lot. More and more people are moving in. It's more diverse. And I do think North Carolina is poised to be a spiritual center in the U.S. and probably on the East Coast as one of the most powerful places.
Well,
and
wonderful. I had read a lot about North Carolina being a center for spirituality, and I see where other people are channeling and doing workshops in that area. So that's good. Seems like you came at the right time. And, you know, even though there's that fundamentalist element, there's the New Age element. So that's great. I'm really glad
I think
that you
are being drawn here. I meet more people mm-hmm. every day coming from other parts of the country that have similar stories to ours, where they were brought here under, you know, strange circumstances, but we're meant to be here for a reason. So it's exciting.
Well, I'm interested enough that I'm thinking maybe sometime I'd like to come down and visit your school and see what the whole thing is all about. It sounds really wonderful. Now, do you also have festivals, and do you invite other speakers and that kind of thing?
We do. I travel a lot, do a lot of events and expos and conferences and things, and lecture a lot at the area. I was just speaking at Duke University a couple weeks ago. I'll be speaking at IONS at the chapter here, and speak out like that. And the workshops that we do here as well, I do have guest speakers that come and share their wisdom as well. And I'd like to do a spiritual conference here next year and bring in speakers from around the country. I think North Carolina is getting ready for that, where we could bring that about. And there's so many great events like that are in other parts of the country, and I think it'd be well received here. So I hope to do that next year and have a really nice spiritual conference here.
Well, that sounds great. That might be something I might want to tap into. So keep me informed as to your plans, et cetera.
Well,
so that sounds really good. I'm really glad for you that things are working out and you're able to teach these mystery schools as they are known, and what you've gleaned from your past lives and what you remember and what you put together with your studies. It's all very interesting. It truly is very interesting. So
I think esoteric teachings, you know, reach out to everyone, anyone that's interested. There's something for them. And one of the things I say, as you know, in my book in the beginning is, you know, don't believe a word I say. And that's just because the information's out there, and for people that are interested, you can read it, and if it resonates with you, it'll resonate within your soul, and you'll know it to be a truth within yourself rather than just believing someone else who wants to tell you their story. So I try to live by that precept and share the information and let people see if it resonates with them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good way of putting it, because I think as a teacher, you're there to help the student unfold, but only they can live their life, and only they can do the journey, and only they, by the way, can do the work that it takes to move from one step of initiation to another, you know?
Absolutely. So at times I say I don't even teach. I really just help people remember who they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's nice. So I'm curious. Now, I'm resonating with Greece an awful lot because of this past life, and in my class last night, we listened to the past life of being at the Temple of Athena. Do you also have memories of being perhaps at Delphi or in Greece somewhere? I'm just curious.
Yes, I would say I'm an old soul. I've been around the block a few times.
Yeah, me too. I think that's very interesting. And I also teach art history and teach a lot with ancient Egypt. And boy, the more you get into ancient Egypt, the more there is to explore in terms of the esoteric teachings. And they were really so advanced with the science, with the pyramids, for instance, and the way that the pyramids all line up with star systems from 10,000 BC. And, you know, it's really, really fascinating. So do you touch on Egypt in your mystery school, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, if you saw the temple, there's almost every room is filled with Egyptian artifacts, and we do a lot of work with ancient Egypt, and it's probably the one closest to my heart.
Oh, really?
I also have a copper pyramid here at the school that's large enough for two people to sit inside of it, and we do work inside using the energy of the pyramid and do different types of work inside the pyramid individually and in groups with that as well. And Egypt is something I really love to teach about with the ancient teachings there, and definitely a big love.
Mm-hmm. That is fascinating. Yes, the energies of the pyramid are said to be preservative, and that is why they used them to help preserve the bodies of the pharaohs. But as well, my understanding is that the pyramids were used as chambers of ancient initiation in the Great White Brotherhood as we know it.
Yes, they were. I actually have a meditation that will be coming out on CD later this year that I first wrote for the students here, and I put them inside this pyramid and then lead them through a meditation they listen to on a CD player that actually takes them through one of those initiations and connects them with the pyramids while they're sitting in the pyramid here in the school. And that is how the initiations were done. There were chambers that they went through and tests that they had to undergo, and I've had to undergo those this in this lifetime and being led through not just on this plane but on the other planes. And they were quite severe and serious, especially back in that time. If you didn't get an answer right, the repercussions weren't very nice.
I know. I read of one initiation that was written about in Dr. Joshua Stone's work. Are you familiar with Dr. Joshua?
Yes, briefly.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was writing about some initiations that occurred in inside the chamber somewhere in the Great Pyramid, and that they... Now, I don't know exactly how this was set up, because it doesn't correspond to what we know today about the pyramid, but in essence, what I'm just kind of quoting what he had mentioned, and he said that they had a situation where they would have to swim through, they would have to dive into this deep water, and it was filled with crocodiles, and then they'd have to swim underneath and then up again in order to get air. And a lot of the initiates actually died during these trials, you know. So,
there were initiations, all the elements, fire, water, all of those, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fascinating. I'm sure you don't put your students through any life and death experiences, though.
I haven't tried the crocodiles, no.
Yeah, that would be for special students that needed, like we call it, remedial help.
We'll take a trip down to Florida and try that sometime.
Yeah, right. Well, anyway, the Great Pyramid is fascinating, and there is a pyramid on your book cover, but it doesn't appear to be the Great Pyramid. Is that located somewhere else? I'm not recognizing the one that's on
that's,
the cover.
The publisher picked that. They just knew, as you know, you get so much control on the book when you do that with the cover,
yeah.
And I wanted a pyramid was the stipulation that I really wanted, and as far as the one they pick, I think that's just was a choice they did with their artwork there. It's definitely not the Great Pyramid, and they may have done that just to be a little more nebulous, just to show the shape, and because while the pyramids in Egypt are so magnificent and ones I really resonate with, I really love all of them, including the Mayan ones and the ones in Peru and all over. And, you know, there's so many great civilizations that taught these teachings, and I try to mention that a little bit in the book. I mean, India is such a wealth of knowledge and things like that, Peru, the Mayans, we could go on and on. So I kind of like that they did that and made it not just about Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I was just curious if you knew which exact culture that was from, but I'm not recognizing it without a reference there. I just wasn't really sure. It looks like maybe it might be Mayan or something. I don't know. But anyway, India has a vast wealth of esoteric teaching. It seems like you might say inexhaustible when it comes to the, well, for instance, I recently read the autobiography of a yogi by Yogananda, who appeared to me in meditation one time and asked me to work with him and to work with his book and to use that as part of my class. So it's interesting because we're both teachers and we have this interest in ancient knowledge, and it's just wonderful to connect with you this way, Kayla. I admire your work. I think you're doing some very interesting work, and I would be curious to find out more about it and actually see the place and everything. So, you know, it's just been really nice connecting with you. I'm really sorry we had so many technical issues, but of course, I'm sure you understand that sometimes computers just don't work right, and sometimes we have sound issues and that kind of thing, so.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with what you said about India, and I've connected with many beings that were from India and taught there at a time and are not on this realm anymore, but in the other realms, and they've come to teach me some of their things, and I find it absolutely fascinating, and just have the greatest respect for India and the teachings there.
Yeah, me too.
And of course, with everything they're talking about now and the end of this age of Kali Yuga, as we're wrapping this up and moving into a new age. And it's just an extremely exciting time to be alive and to be a soul here on Earth right now.
Isn't it, though? So do you get into teaching on ascension in your school? Does that enter into the conversation?
Not so much. We're really stepping out of time when we go into the esoteric teachings, really focused on the soul, which is timeless. So it really doesn't matter if you're doing the work on your soul. The rest of it will take care of itself.
Mm-hmm, that is true, too, yeah. Well, I want to remind our listeners that they can buy a copy of the book on, tell us which website. I know you have a couple websites.
Easiest is Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or in some of your local bookstores. Of course, through my publisher as well, which is Reality Press, and you can find that at reality-entertainment.com and buy it there from the publisher. But any of those Amazon, Barnes & Noble, so I'll get you there. And an easy website, too, for those that, I know Temple of Stella Maris is hard to spell for some people, but 9lessons.com will get you there, as well as exploreyourspirit.com, the book's on there as well.
Mm-hmm. And when does your show air so that we can encourage our listeners to also tune in if they're interested in hearing your show sometime?
Oh, well, thank you. That's very nice. Well, the nice thing about Explore Your Spirit is that the shows are available. We say it's the shows you want and when and where you want to listen to them. They're all archived, and all of the archives are free, and we have almost 200 shows on there archived with all of the great spiritual teachers and metaphysical teachers and paranormal shows. And you can go to exploreyourspirit.com and click on the talk show button and look through the archives at hundreds of shows that you want to listen to, anything from the teachings of Don Miguel Ruiz or Dan Millman, or we've just had Yuri Geller on the show. We've Lisa Williams is about to come out on our show and talk about her work on Lifetime TV. We have paranormal. We have Brad Steiger. Anything, if you're interested in ghosts, vampires, things that go bump in the night, of course, a wide variety of metaphysical teachings. And, of course, Marcia, you're going to be on the show coming up here soon, too, as well, and your show
yes,
will be up there for all
that
want to listen. Daniel Brinkley's coming back on to talk about his work. And we just had Nikki Scully and Bruce Lipton, who are working together and taking a pilgrimage to Egypt, where they're going to unite science and spirituality and do certain rituals in Egypt. I'd love to tag along with them. I can't go this year, but hope to go next year with them when they do that. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's fascinating that how many scientists are coming together now with spiritual teachers and working in that capacity.
Yes, I think that there's a lot of corollary with it, and it needs to be united. That's only the proper expression of spirituality and science. Well, thank
you
so much.
More. If we both talk to each other, we'll actually figure out the answers even quicker.
That's exactly right, you and I both. There you go. Okay, I want to thank you again for coming on the show, and I have a few more announcements that I meant to make at the beginning, but we had so many technical issues. I want to remind our listeners that there is a spiritual odyssey happening in Greece, and you can access this and find out more about the trip, which is coming right up in February on the 19th at www.bodymindspiritjourneys.com. And I may be traveling along with this group, and I'd like to hear from you in email if you are interested. Be traveling to see the sites of ancient Greece, and I will be bringing forth information about the art history as well. I'm an intuitive channel, and will be assisting you in your spiritual journey over there. So if you would like to hear more or know more, please visit bodymindspiritjourneys.com. And I want to remind our listeners also that I also do intuitive readings and an intuitive channel. I do channeling with the archangels and the ascended masters. And my readings are on sale for half price through January 30th. So, Kayla, thank you again for joining us. It was really a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much, Marcia. I appreciate it.
Yes, I appreciate it, too, and I wish you the best of luck with your school. It sounds really wonderful, and I am so glad that you could highlight aspects of the school for us today, and I hope that our listeners will be checking out your website at www.templeofstellamaris.org, and I'll spell that T-E-M-P-L-E of S-T-E-L-L-A-M-A-R-I-S. And we're going to close out today's journey with some music that is created by, it's going to be, we're going to listen to Holy Grail Divine by Richard Schulman. Thank you so much again, Kayla, and we'll talk again sometime soon.
Thank you.